Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Titans with a perfect timed get-right game, 27-3 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Joining us to break it all down is TD Teron Davenport. TD, always appreciate chatting with you and breaking down the Titans games with you every single Monday. I've been struggling with this, TD, because we go from the clunker of all clunkers last week to one of the best offensive performances that we've seen from the Titans, maybe the best that we've seen since that Green Bay game last season. So what is this Titans team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say they're somewhere in between, and we know that Browns defense has done well against pretty much everybody they faced for the most part. They obviously had the loss to the Ravens yesterday, but I think that game was more or less of a one-off kind of thing. And going forward, they should be good offensively. It's just a matter of that play calling coming together and the execution as well. You heard Mike Vrabel, he said it's all about the players, but I think there is something to those guys being put in position to make plays, right? You look at Josh Wiley and his two catches, the play action one, that had Jermaine Pratt, number 57. He didn't know any what to do because he wanted to fire up and, you know, come up and make a play against the run. And Wiley just snuck right by him and was wide open. And then you look at the King Cat, right, the touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. A good play call with execution, and everything worked out perfectly.
Yeah, one of those play calls that I'm looking around like, what is going on here? What's going on? TD is with us, and you mentioned the differences in play calling. I thought Tim Kelly called a fantastic game yesterday. But in your opinion, what is the difference? Is it execution? Is it utilizing play action more? What is the difference between maybe last week and this week in terms of Tim Kelly's play calling?
Well, I think the big part of it was protection. And then also they were able to stay ahead of drives pretty well. And when you're in that situation where you're not facing third and 13 consistently, right, and you're not facing Myles Garrett and that group of pass rushers, you can open up the playbook a little bit more and dial up some plays. And that's what he was able to do because the protection was there and they were being productive early on in series. And that allows you to get in your bag, so to speak, and that's exactly what Tim Kelly did.
We're talking with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans' victory yesterday versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati has had their number, TD, for a couple of outings now, and it was just good. It's almost, and tell me if you felt this, it's almost as if the Titans took it personal this time with the Cincinnati Bengals because they know what has happened in prior games with this team.
Yeah, I think it was a little more personal this week, you know, and the thing that was pretty cool about it is it was personal for the fans too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I got to shout out the fans. They, you know, caused the Bengals to call a timeout, you know, early in the game. And it was personal for everybody, it seemed like. So you're right there. And you saw right from the start too, mm-hmm. right? Jeffrey Simmons getting into the mix a little bit, you know, getting into it with Joe Mixon. And then DeNico Autry, you know, he had his able to control, you know, and not throw that punch that it looked like he was ready to. So that was a good thing for him. But, you know, those guys they definitely took it personal.
Now, TD, you know how much I like Treylon Burks and how much I rave about him. And the kid has a lot of potential. But it just, for whatever reason, it hasn't materialized consistently for him. But on the flip side, guys like Chris Moore, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine have made plays when opportunities have been given to him. With that being said, should Vrabel now think about, hey, listen, Treylon, you're still our future, but we need to start giving these other guys more playing times, i.e. Chris Moore, really. I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. You guys know this. He's playing a perfect role, I think, now. But Chris Moore is the guy that I think can really help this offense, and he's proven it.
Yeah, Chris Moore's average per catch is crazy right now. So I think it's, you know, in the 30s. So when you look at that, it's just one of those things where when you go his direction, he's going to make something happen. And I love the way he attacks the football. I love how he's able to stack DBs. So he does deserve more opportunities. Right now, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, I mean, this past week, he led them in snaps once again, and it's been that way pretty much every game this season. So he's getting his shots. And I think when you look at Burks, it's almost like, okay, you know what? Do you want to just slow down and give that knee extra time to heal so that way when you do get him back, you're getting that full go of him as opposed to, you know, the patchwork, like, hey, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to sit you this day and then we'll have you in practice that day, so on and so forth.
Daron Davenport is with us. And I'm glad D-Mace brought up Chris Moore because he's in this group of players I'm going to ask you about, TD. And I don't want to shortchange these guys, but I do like the song, so it's kind of funny. I'm the thrift shop guys, mm-hmm. right? Rand Carthon's first group of free agents. He didn't have a ton of budget to go get all the guys he wanted at the highest prices in the nicest store, right? So he goes and gets Chris Moore, Al Shire. Obviously, Dillard is in this mix at a very expensive position. Brunskill, Sean Michael Bunting. How do you think collectively after four games this group of free agents is doing?
Yeah, well, you know, instead of going to Macy's, Rand, he said, I'm going to go to Target. That's really what it's
for. Really what it is.
Ain't
right?
nothing wrong with Target.
So would you put Target above the thrift shop that Macklemore was going $20?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Yeah.
Target to step
Target,
up.
Yes. Okay. You can get some nice things at very reasonable prices at
okay,
Target.
Okay.
He's gotten some nice players at very reasonable prices. I mean, if you look, Azeez Al-Shaarawy, I think, was 51 snaps he played yesterday. He played, I think, all of the snaps. That dude was all over the place. Even blitzing and coverage, you saw him come up and fill against the run. He had an outstanding game, so you got that. Daniel Brunskill, if you notice, we haven't really said much about the right side of the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can lump in Chris Hubbard, too. So now you got two guys on that side that have pretty much held it down pretty well, you know. And then they did have a breakdown and allowed a sack in this past game. But, I mean, that's going to happen. Then you move it on to Murphy Bunting, the physicality, right? Going into the game, talking to him and some of the other guys, Fulton and McCrary, Byard, hey, the goal was to keep everything in front of you and tackle. And he's one of the best tacklers on that team, you know, so you got that. And then who was the other ones? We said Murphy Bunting, Brunskill, Al Shire, and Chris Moore. You know, we talked about what he's done as far as average per catch and just, every time the ball goes his way, good things happen. So all four or five of those guys, it's been really good. And I think you could even lump in Arden Key in there.
Yeah.
It was a bit of
sure.
a higher
should
price
have brought him up.
As compared to the other ones, but it's still a good deal there. You know, you get a pass rusher for $7 million a year, and, you know, he had a sack, and he's getting pressure. So all across the board, they're doing well. And, look, don't look now, but Andre Dillard is coming into form, too, because he has some – pretty good blocks to spring Derrick Henry for a couple of those long runs.
There's hope for that collection. If they keep moving in that direction, you feel good about where they could be in a couple of months. TD, I want to ask you about one more guy. This was a classic Derrick Henry game yesterday. But if you look closely, Tajay Spears, to me, is this close to really busting out and having a couple of huge plays. I love how he can catch a ball or get a run where he's at a dead stop. His acceleration from point A to point B is really remarkable to me. So I feel like there's more good things coming from him. I saw him in pass protection a few times, pick up a blitz. I think we're just scratching the surface, in my opinion, of what he's going to be.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I've said it before, the ability that he has to accelerate. I mean, it reminds us like that Tesla, the Model S, I think it is, the one that goes 0 to 60 in like 2.7 seconds. That's what he does. And you saw it yesterday. You see it every week. He's electrifying. And having a guy like that in the lineup, it helps. And it's funny because, you know, they have he and Henry on the field together. And you see that, you know, short motion that he goes into, and they'll run Henry the opposite way or they'll throw it to Spears. He had a really good catch early in the game on a conversion where Tannehill was in the pocket and he had to slide to his left a little bit, then move to his right. Spears showed a lot of maturity as a pass catcher in that he moved with him and squared his numbers up and gave Tannehill a nice big target to throw it to, and they, I think it was a fourth down.
That's fourth down. Yeah, that's a massive play to answer the field goal. And then the other pass he caught, like, it's not in the passing stats right now. There's, you know, you look at the yards, like 28. There was a swing pass they threw to him, and it looks like it's going nowhere. Like, they don't have blockers out there, but he just catches it and makes something out of it and makes it into a good play. I feel like it's just a matter of time before you really see that translate into big, big plays. Like the one where he bobbled it, scooped it up, and runs the other way and ends up with 20-something. I think there's more of that coming.
I'm yet to see the first defender tackle him. And that right there is a testament to what he brings to the table. And it's funny because, you know, all these people were getting on Rand, Carthon, and Mike Vrabel and the crew for taking a running back in the third round. But you have to remember, you don't always pigeonhole somebody into a position. He's just a weapon. Like, if you ask me about Spears, I don't say running back Tajay Spears. I say weapon Tajay Spears.
TD.
Go ahead, D-Mace. Go ahead.
No. Obviously, this game, it's sort of, they put everything together from an offensive standpoint, defensive standpoint, and special teams. How do you see this working out now that the players are starting to come back? Nicholas is coming back a little bit earlier than what they expected. Kyle Phillips, I think he's getting ready to potentially come back. And then some other guys.
Peter
coming back. How do you see this team looking once these guys come back?
Yeah, that's just more depth to the mix. And Mike Vrabel was asked a bit about possibly mixing some things up on the offensive line, you know, once everybody, Petit Frere and Skoronski and everybody is back. And, you know, he had the quote. He said, you know, as a coach, you're never happy. You know what I mean? And that's true. You know, you're always looking for some way to get better. And I think, you know, that's a good thing where you have more options and more combinations to utilize if you choose to. So I think it's only going to get better from here. And hey, we know this team is one that the injuries, they'll pile up from time to time. So the more options you have, the better.
TD, last one from me. Looking at the AFC South, you got four teams that are 2-2, and the Colts and the Texans actually look a lot better than I anticipated them to look. And I know we're only 4 weeks in, but what do you make of the division so far?
Hey, I tell you what, C.J. Stroud, you know, through four games, he's doing just fine, right? Only Cam Newton has more passing yards to start the first four games of your career. So that's saying something. He passed Andrew Luck. So Stroud is a solid, really good player. So he's already off to a really good start. And Anthony Richardson, man, it's you know, he's like the bionic man. You watch him. I don't know if you guys got to see that game, but Aaron Donald, you know, was closing on him, and he had a jump pass with Aaron Donald about to rock him. 44 yards down the field, perfect pass to Alec Pierce. And, man, that's going to be a tall order for the Titans this week. So you look at those teams, and mind you, the Colts are doing that without Jonathan Taylor, right, 2-2. So you got that, and the Jaguars, they, you know, they had a win, and, you know, they're still always going to be there, and that's a team that, you know, they typically have won these close games, and they play very similar as far as style to the Titans. So it's going to be a competitive division. I don't think the Colts and the Texans are the automatic wins that some people thought they would be.
Yeah, those are two rookie quarterbacks that look like they are special and going to continue to be special throughout the rest of the season. TD, appreciate you as always. We'll chat with you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, TD. Coming up next, we'll react to what TD had to say, plus our thoughts around the division. Because right now, Jags are 2-2, you're 2-2, the Colts are 2-2, the Texans are 2-2, and you're taking on your first divisional opponent coming up this weekend. So we'll get into that, and of course, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Mm-hmm.